Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you all here with me today, and I have a fantastic guest, Miss Susan Morrow. So I'm so excited to have you with us, Susan. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. Please do us all a favor and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Great. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about talking to you and your listeners. My name is Susan Morrow Johnson, also known as Mojo Medium, and that just makes it so easy to remember, mojomedium.com. So here I am. I am coming out of many years of being a practicing psychic medium and coach. And just this year, after my almost 2 years of second Saturn return, I had a big reveal, what I call my big reveal. And I have pivoted, and I'm now speaker, trainer, author, and self-help leader. So I'm taking all the years of experience that I have with all the divine downloads and talking to dead people, if I may, that I've put into all my work. And it's all the same things that I've been coaching people on, but I'm reaching a much broader audience now. And I specialize in talking to women over 40 who are in a transition, perhaps, such as empty nest, divorce, rounding out a career. And they're starting to go, what do I do now? Who am I after 20 years of doing things for everybody else? What can I do for me? What happened to my dreams of my youth? Is it too late for me to be a rock star? And then I especially love to work with women entrepreneurs. And the especially of that section is women who are in multi-level marketing or direct sales, or are in recovery from multi-level marketing or direct sales. So what I do now is I work on choose your destiny. That's my big thing. So I want people to understand that your destiny is not some cosmic crusade. It's not some royal assignment or something you have to go out and do because this is what you have to do. No, your destiny is what you choose to do with the talents that you brought into this life. Mm-hmm. And when you use your talents, if you can think of one that you have, and you have many, if you use your talents, it feels good. And when you use your talents, you feel good and others are served. And that's what we're all here about. And so you can not only choose your right now destiny, but you can change it if you get tired of it. Or if you feel the tug of fate and you feel called or pulled to do something else, which is where that comes in with a lot of women over 40. Mm. Some people go a little earlier. I was in my early 30s going, you know, I like my job and I'm good at it, but I just have the feeling that these are not the talents I'm supposed to be using in service to others. So what are those talents? And when I opened that up, Pandora's box, then people and information started to come into my life and cross my path so that I was able to discover who I was underneath. And then, as I just mentioned, that has evolved again after almost 20 years as a psychic medium coach. So this is a very momentous occasion, and I'm very excited to lead other people as well into the same kind of discovery, self-discovery, and being happy, doing what you came here to do and feeling good.
This is such a beautiful conversation as well, because I feel like, especially after COVID and the whole shutdown, I feel like there was this shift in the world where more people were paying attention to what made them happy, what didn't make them happy. Yes. What do they really want to do? What do I not really want to do? We've seen so many people pivot into even like the 1099 space, where they're still like wanting to work with their people in corporate, mm-hmm. but still wanting some of the flexibility. Like, you just have seen this huge change in the way that people are thinking about what they want in their
about
lives.
Work. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because not only are people turning towards entrepreneurship, and also they may have developed a real love for working from home. And I've been working from home for almost 25 years. So I can say, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. You have to have some rules in place to make sure you're productive. But with all of that going on, and with the pandemic, I think you've really hit on something big, because it's not only about that, but it's also about the shift in energy in general with our whole world, the whole world. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the other day that somebody said, a friend of mine has always said, well, I'm just there for the paycheck. I mean, it's work. And people say, it's work. You're not supposed to like work. It's work. That's why they call it work, you know? And that is, if you'll pardon me, I don't mean to be polarizing or political, but that is patriarchy bullshit, because that attitude is about rich men telling working men, you're not supposed to like it. Just work so that I can make money off of your work. Mm-hmm. And that was the way that people, you know, put food on the table. Now, we all probably have been in a position of having to put food on the table and doing what you have to do. Totally get that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have to do that anymore. But if you are feeling that, then, and so many of us are, not just because of the pandemic was a tool of this shift in energy mm-hmm. for the world. So as a species, we've evolved, especially women, we've always been this way. We've evolved into, how can I be the best me? How can I serve others in a way that serves me as well? How can I enjoy my work? And instead of work-life balance, which they were talking about in the 90s, it's more about, how can my work and my life all be one big happy family, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about, I want to talk about this shift that I call it the reemergence of the divine feminine, which I've been feeling for 25 years. And I've been talking about the way that we market as entrepreneurs and business owners, and how it has gotten away, and it must get away, from the old marketing and advertising techniques that were developed in the 30s and 40s by men for men, appealing to men to help them get laid. And, you know, that is really, really outdated, because as early as maybe the 1980s, the majority of buying decisions in this country, at least in the US, were being made by women. And that's even for like cars and men's clothes and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. the old timey ad of, come on down and buy this car and get this great deal on this hot car with this hot woman standing next to it, that is really worthless. And in fact, earlier this year, I was in a networking group that was very good, and I met some really high quality people in there, and it was wonderful. But the person who ran it, who was a woman, was still a little too much of what I would call masculine energy or divine masculine. Not saying that divine masculine is all bad, because it's not. If you want to use the words yin and yang, that might be better. So it was just a little heavy on the yang. And I really wasn't comfortable with that anymore. You know, I don't need to meet quotas. I don't need to, you know, keep track of networking. I need to build relationships with networking partners, with clients, mm-hmm. with people who I hope will become my clients. I need to get my message out there for the people who need to hear it. And that's what's going on. And so like I said, for the first time since you mentioned this, I realized, oh, the pandemic was a tool of this shifting energy, getting people to say, I don't want to work for the sake of working. I don't want to work just because I'm putting food on the table. You know, you've heard of millennials or Gen Z or both who are doing this quiet quitting, mm-hmm. which means they just half-ass their job because they're not getting paid for it. They're not getting paid enough. It's not meaningful to them. It's a means to an end. And which I think is kind of sad, but it is the first step to, well, how do I put food on the table and be happy to?
Yeah. So. And I think that I love that we're seeing this shift as well, where people are realizing that it's not the old saying of you work to live and live to work. Like people are starting to realize that they don't want to wait until retirement to be able to enjoy themselves. They want to be able to enjoy things now. And I think that we're also seeing a shift in what people consider a want for them. Whereas before it was more along the lines of materialistic things. Like that's always shoved in our face. And it still is with commercials and things like that. But I have noticed that especially during the pandemic, because people didn't have access to so many things, they were forced to explore different opportunities, right? Like hiking, like having conversations, you know, over Zoom, and like just doing things different that can still bring you joy and fulfillment, but isn't something in your hand that you can necessarily hold that you paid for that is going to make your life better. Mm-hmm. And I have loved that because I see that more people are enjoying the more simplistic pieces of life. And that is where some of the conversations are revolving around versus check out my new car, check out my big giant house. Like those conversations, at least the people that I'm around, those aren't the kind of conversations that we're having. The exploration is a lot different. And to me, it's also a lot deeper for a lot of people. But it is, again, like you said, it's shifting the way people assess how they deal with things, how they want to be sold to. And I feel like we are getting back into a space where people want to buy from others because of the relationship, because of what somebody portrays, not just this old salesman, you know, paradigm of like, you should buy it now, it's on sale. Like, it's interesting. And I love that so much too, because I was afraid, especially as my kids were growing up, that like everybody being in front of their cell phones and all this technology and being able to shove your kids off on a tablet was going to create such a disconnect within families and everything anyway, that it was like, oh my gosh, like how can we get back to finding ways to spend time with each other and doing things that we enjoy so that we aren't creating a younger generation where that's all they care about is the materialistic things.
Well, and not just the materialistic things, but the being wired, but not connected, you know, having the internet and the games and the whatever and the texting, but not being personally really feeling connected. And so that is something to be concerned about. But as we're talking about, it really is improving. Now there's still a lot of consumerism and materialism. And personally, I'm a consumer. I like stuff. I like clothes. I like travel. I like, you know, I like all kinds of things that cost money. But we are kind of in late stage capitalism. So as we go forward, it's going to continue to shift and change. And so a lot of what we're seeing is people who are very uncomfortable with this shift back towards the divine feminine, because we've been in a heavy divine masculine for such a long time that even people who are hurt or not helped by the system that we've got and by the feeling and philosophy that we've got, even they are afraid of the change because that's what our subconscious does. It says, oh, no, no, we're safe when we stay in what's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, the man gets all the money. And I mean, the man with a capital M, like they used to say, working for the man gets all the money. And I just sweat my, you know, work by the sweat of my brow and put food on the table. That's all I could do. And so that's like, this is not a happy life. Well, that's just life. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how about if we change it and make it better and more fun and happier? No, we can't do that. We have to keep it this way. Well, how about we share with our neighbors? No, keep what we've worked hard for. You don't work, you don't eat, you know? And so there are women and there are people of color who are so entrenched in that system. And that's why I say that there are systems of oppression that run so deep that even the oppressed perpetuate them.
Mm.
And so, and then the oppressors or the people who benefit from that system, of course, they don't want to give up what they've got. But if they knew that they are really trapped in that system and they are prevented from connection and closeness and from knowing other people and experiencing relationships in a new way and experiencing other things that they're not even aware are out there, you know, different ways of living, different ways of cooking, different ways of relating to people. And so there are people who are just digging in their heels right now, and they don't want to let go of what always has been. And mm-hmm. so that it's harder for them. So you have to say, okay, they'll come along eventually. And if they don't come along before they die, it's okay. We just have to, you know, help them as much as we can. And,
yeah.
and don't look at them like, oh, they're going to kill the whole new paradigm. No, they're not. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Things break down and new things are being built, and new ways of doing are being built. And so that's why I do what I do. That's what I've been drawn to do, you know, that's why, because I started out as a manifestation expert and taught manifestation for years. And then it started morphing into this destiny piece where it's like, okay, so the things that you want, like you were talking about, people are thinking about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about, I tell people, if you want something, you need it. And that's not necessarily about, you know, material things. It can be, but we think that we've been taught that you need what you need and you deserve that. You can have what you need, but anything beyond that is gravy. And you should just be grateful if you have something you want, but don't need. Well, I don't really need it, but I do want it. Guess what? Same thing. If you want it, you deserve it. You're worthy of it. You can have what you want, love, and enjoy. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about. And we've been taught that that's not true, but it is. That's the big truth. That's the old truth, new wisdom.
Yeah. And I love this too, because it brings up the conversation where, you know, you were talking about how you've really been focusing on women that are transitioning in their life. And I have definitely seen where this has been a complete and total shift in society as well, with the women that like do want to work and do want to run their businesses and don't want to be the housewives and all of those things, which I think is great, because not every man wants to work a full-time job. I know plenty of guys that love being a stay-at-home dad, and I think they should have the opportunity to be able to do that, you know? So, you know, when you're talking with, you know, especially women that are in that transitional phase and like trying to figure out where they want to go, and they're feeling like, am I too old to do this? What do you feel like tends to be the foundational pieces that you work with and give to them just to kind of get them thinking in a different right. mindset?
Right, right. Well, so they have to be in a place where they're like, this isn't working. Or, you know, for people with MLMs, or even if they have a business or want a business, they may be thinking, I'm not getting the success that I want. And I don't know why. I'm doing all the things right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason is that one of my clients said the other day, she said, I knew I was on the right path when doors just blew open for me in my business. And I've been there where it's struggling and walking through water, you know, or mud to try to get your business going and just bringing in dribs and drabs of money and just not being able to reach people. But I'm doing everything right. I'm going to my, you know, Divine Masculine networking meeting, and I'm posting on Instagram every day, and I'm doing Facebook Live every week, and I'm doing these things that everybody's doing. And I know that they're having great success and I'm not. So when you're in that kind of headspace, what you need to know is that you got to do it your own way and stop selling someone else's dream and sell your own. Stop pushing someone else's purpose and push your own. That's what you're here for. That's the satisfaction. So we start with, there are seven elements of choosing your destiny, and we start with your divine connection. So that's learning to meditate and tune into your spirit guides or whatever your philosophy is. I work with that. But I think of it as your spirit guides and tuning into the divine collective, which is all the energy that flows through everything. And then we go on to your divine value. Now, this is what I was talking about with the wants and needs, that the problem most of us have, and especially as women, because we are taught not to be greedy, taught to be humble, we're taught to be kind and sweet and not to say what we want and need, not to even ask or demand or whatever. And I think for your younger generation, that is slightly less true, but it's still there. It's still ingrained in us, you know, to be kind and not to be greedy and so forth. And, you know, think about the insult of gold digger, right? So, you know, here you are in this world where you can't make your own money, but if you try to marry a rich man, then you're a gold digger. So, you know, you can't win for losing. But so we talk about divine value. Let's get back to the point. Sorry, I can go off on that tangent. I'm into smashing the patriarchy today, I guess. So what we work on is your divine value. And that means that there's a piece of you, there's a piece of the divine within you. We call your soul, a chunk of the divine. I call mine Chunky Divine, which conveniently is also my stripper name. And so we want to identify more closely with our spirit, and the subconscious really kind of wants us to stay in the human familiar. Don't do that. It's too scary. Right.
Yeah.
So we work on that. And the divine value, that is your soul, means that as a being containing the divine, that you have value simply in being, that you are worthy of being, doing, having what you want, love, and enjoy. And so we really work on getting your sense of worthiness to become real and tangible for you. And you can tell the evidence is around you. So this is part of manifestation. It's part of destiny. So you can tell by the things in your life that are going well, and the things you have that you like, and the things that are not going well, and the things that you lack. So the first one is, oh, you have a sense of being worthy of those. And the second one is you do not have a sense of being worthy of those, or you actively feel like you're not worthy of that. And so, first of all, getting some people to recognize that they don't feel worthy is a little tricky, but I go, but if you felt worthy, that would appear in your life, because that's really the basis of it. You know, that's how you vibrate at the frequency of the thing that you want. And so we dig deep into that. And then there are other steps, and we work on digging into your childhood and your talents. And all of my clients, to a person, discover several talents they didn't realize they had, things that come out of their experience and things that are innate about them that they just take for granted. It's natural for us to take it for granted, because if it's easy for you and you like, you know, let's say that you're a painter. And yeah, sure, you paint. And then, you know, when you're 12 years old, you're like, anybody can do that. And there's your art teacher going, no, they can't. Oh my God. You know? So, so we really work on that. And then talk about which talents light you up the most right now. And you get to choose, and you can pick one or two or three or five. And then we say, well, how do you express those? You know, how can you use them in service to others for money or not. Mm-hmm. I'm not a business coach, but we do talk about businesses you can build around that and what you should include in your business. Now, when I started my first business, I will tell you this, and I believe this was divinely guided because I had been, laid off from my job, my corporate. And after a few months, I woke up on a Monday morning and I had this really clear inspiration for what to do. I started my first business and I took my job description from my last job and my directory of facilities and services, which I was a facilities manager. So I had developed this directory with my staff. And I went through and I picked out all the tasks and things that I liked doing. And I made a list of that. And that became my menu of services. And that is kind of a really clear example of what we do, except that instead of our job description, we're looking at who we are and what we love and what's been buried and what hasn't been buried and so forth. And so many things that we want to do when we're young will get squashed. So I don't know if this happened to you, but a lot of us are good at something when we're young. Let's give an example. So we always ask little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? That's really common.
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Want to be an astronaut, firefighter, a ballerina? I had one client who wanted to be a social worker, a parole officer.
Because
her mother was on parole. So when she was a kid, she thought a parole officer was a good job. Bless her heart. But of course, that lends itself to other things. It just, we just had to break that down into what that meant for her. But so you listen to a little kid say, astronaut, firefighter, ballerina, parole officer. And you go, okay, good. Well, have fun with that. And so I'll use the ballerina as an example. So a young woman, a girl wants to be a ballerina and she takes dance all of her life and she's very good. And she's the prima ballerina in her studio where she takes lessons and she's the captain of the drill team. I don't know if you have that where you live, but it's a big deal in Texas. She's captain of the drill team. She's a big dance person. She wants to go to college where you go to study the arts. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. Not a reformatory. So it'll come back like Juilliard. Okay.
Yeah.
So she wants to do that on scholarship and she wants to go on and be a dancer, a professional dancer. So what do her parents and her drill team sponsor say? That's not practical. Only the luckiest few, the deeply most talented and sometimes not even talented, but sometimes just the biggest assholes or whatever it is, can make a living doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you should study accounting or you should study business or you should study, homemaking, whatever that is. And so I don't know if that happened to you. It happened to me.
It did to me.
So we have to dig into those things. We have to dig into those dreams of your youth and your childhood. And in fact, a lot of us, even in 20s and 30s, we still have dreams. I remember being 28 after my second child was born and I was in the throes of a postpartum depression. And I don't know if you know about depression, but you can have one thing send you into depression, and depression will reach out to everything else in your life that sucks or that kind of sucks and say, this is a horrible pit of despair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling my therapist, I wanted to be a rock star. Now it's too late. I'm also a little bit melodramatic, but at 28 years old, I thought it was too late to be a rock star. It probably wasn't, but that really wasn't what I really wanted to be. It was just one of the things that I had explored. And now I want to be a rock star in the self-help arena, and that's who I really am. That's who I was born to be. So it's the kind of thing, all of this kind of thing goes together into what I help other people with. And, that as entrepreneurs, that's what we should be doing. If you're a coach, you should be helping people do what you've done. Do it faster and better and easier because I've been through a lot to get here. And so I've taken the things that have worked for me, thrown out the things that didn't work and said, here, we can do this together. And you can come along and choose your destiny and be where you want to be where you're meant to be aligned with your purpose.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you talk about going back to, you know, your childhood dreams and the things you wanted to be, because that was also in that era of when you still used your imagination. And I feel like once we get to a certain age, like that's like slapped out of you, right? I mean, it was the same way for me. I always wanted to be a singer. Singing is my passion. I love it. It comes extremely easy to me. And it was something that I always wanted to do. And when I got pregnant, it immediately was, oh, well, you need to go to college, you need to get a good job, you need to be able to provide. And everything on that, like completely went on the back burner. And while, you know, everybody learns their lessons and goes through the things that they go through for whatever reason, it's interesting when you get to a point of being able to use your imagination again as you get older. Mm-hmm. And it's so much different than when you were younger. But I think that it opens up so many doors and so many possibilities. And like you were saying, those hidden talents, when you start to use your imagination, you start to think outside of the societal box, when you start to think outside of the realm of possibilities and like, you know, I don't know, what if, or what if this could, it's interesting how it opens up the way that you think. And it really does help you make different connections. People come into your life that you weren't expecting, or doors open to be like, okay, here it is. Do you want to try it out? Like you get these little pokes and nudges where then you get to choose what it is in the direction that you want to go. And that's honestly all we wanted to do when we were little.
That's right. Well, and when we were little and using the imagination and the intuition, which is definitely smacked out of you. If you know the answer in math without showing your work, you're either cheating or you're a good guesser, right? There's no such thing as intuition in grade school or in all the way through education. So that's another thing we work on. But as you are exploring those things that you want to do, that you love to do, and you listen for those nudges and you pay attention and you tune in and stop dismissing things and get your parents and teachers' voices out of your head that are saying, no, you can't do that. Well, why the hell not? Yes, I can. And I tell you what, I've adopted a new mantra this year, and mm-hmm. that is, can if I want to. And see, that's partly a benefit of getting older, because you grow a really big DGAF. And you get to where can if I want to, and that's it, that is saying I'm giving myself permission mm-hmm. to explore this, to go and sing. And I want to come back to that. So remind me in a second.
Okay.
So the imagination and also the intuition, those go together. So what I wanted to address about the imagination intuition thing is the marriage of destiny and choice. Mm. I've explored tremendously about, is it fate or is it Memorex? No, that's not right. That's an old ad. Sorry, you wouldn't even know that. Is it fate or is it choice? And I won't get into the words free will because I don't like those words and it's stupid, but just bear with me. So I was raised Presbyterian. And in Presbyterian doctrine, they teach preordination, that everything in your life, your station in life is preordained by God. Mm-hmm. Your life is laid out for you and you go out and live your life and you try to be the best you can be with the circumstances that have been ordained for you. Well, that does not appear to be completely true. And some people think that there's none at all, that it's all just chance. It's all chaos, you know? So after all my years of study and work and observation, I have determined that it's both. So there are things that I call destiny points in everyone's life. These are things that are going to happen sooner or later, regardless. Some of them are tied to an age or a time of your life, and some of them are sort of freewheeling. And so the choice comes into which one you want to do next. You know, and when it comes to choosing your destiny, the choice comes in with how happy you want to be, how much fun you want to have, choosing this or that. It's like you're on a path and you can't get it wrong. You come to a fork in the path, they're going to come back together. So it doesn't matter if you choose the left fork or the right fork, you're going to get to where you're quote unquote supposed to be. And you get to choose how you get there. You may not know what that point is that comes back together. You may not be able to foresee it, but you can trust that you'll get there. And here's the thing about the preordination and the destiny thing and the fate. If I, as a psychic medium, can predict something accurately, and I do, and I have for years, then that tells me that there's something that thing must have been set, must have been planned. Sometimes I think that it comes to pass because I've said it. I've told the person, now that I've told you this, you're going to make this change, or you're going to go do this, or, you know, now that I've told you to watch out for the bus when you're riding your bike, you're going to take a different route and not get hit by the bus.
Yeah.
And that actually happened. a dead grandfather told the client through me to watch out for the bus, watch out for buses. And she actually got sideswiped by a school bus. But she was not on her bike. She was in her car. So she was all right.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah. So if I and other psychics who are good at it and who are real can accurately predict something in the future, then doesn't that mean that there's got to be something of it? Now, Edgar Casey said that a psychic can only predict the most likely of several outcomes. And there may be some truth to that. But I also feel like if I say that, like as a disclaimer, it's kind of a cop-out. It's like, well, I'm accurate 50% of the time, but the rest of the time it's because there are other possible outcomes. And I don't think that's good. As a psychic, if I'm predicting the future, I'm going to be right. So, what did I say to stick a pin in?
We're sticking the pin in the singing, but I want to bring back to that because I feel like, like you were saying, that there are certain lessons that we need to learn, either because it's something we're supposed to go through or something we didn't learn when we were younger or in a different time of our life. And I do feel like that sometimes that can be those pinpoints that you're talking about that we have to go through because it's something that we need to realize. Now, whether or not you choose to realize it is on you, and sometimes it repeats itself. But I know that that's been a thing in my life that I can literally go back and see the patterns.
Okay. Good question. And this has been talked about a lot. And I know that 25 years ago, I heard Oprah Winfrey say, although I guess she doesn't use her last name anymore. She's just Oprah. she and Cher and Madonna. Anyway, she said, if you don't learn the lesson, it'll keep coming back for you until you learn it. And then it'll stop happening to you. And that makes a lot of sense. But I don't like the word lessons because it implies that you can fail. You can't fail at your life. You really can't. And that's something that a lot of people are afraid of. There have been times I've felt like a failure, but I'm not failing at my life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I prefer the word messages, and there are messages coming at you from spirit all the time. And it's like we were talking earlier about those little nudges and the little whispers in your ear, that if you pay attention to the messages that are in your own thoughts, that are in overheard conversations, that are on billboards, the things that get your attention deserve your attention because they're speaking to you. And the body is the last resort to get a message to you. So illness and injury are, okay, what's the message here? What have I not been listening to?
Yeah.
And so that's my answer about the lessons. So it's more about just getting the message that's going to be good for you. The other thing I think about destiny points is that, I read this wonderful book, a book I really like because it almost perfectly aligned with my experience in talking to dead people and with my own beliefs and with my understanding from divine downloads. It's called Journey of Souls by Dr. Michael Newton. And so I have long believed that we plan our next lives between lives, right? I believe in reincarnation. It makes sense to me. And it's also what I've been shown. I don't think we have time to get into all the complicated parts, but let's just talk about the plan. So if we have a plan for our lives, it's going to be something about, it's not going to be making up for bad karma. Sorry. You have to remember that spirituality is logical. The universe is logical. If you come into this life and you can't remember your last life, then it's really not fair that you'd have to pay back for being a murderer in the last life that you have no recollection of. That's stupid. So it doesn't make any sense. Okay. But when you plan, you're going to be planning things like, I want to experience X feeling because I want to develop more empathy, or I want to experience being lonely because I haven't experienced that before. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be able to experience loneliness and then the redemption of love and connection, something like that. So the goals that we have, the messages that we want to get and the goals we have coming into a new life are going to be on the soul level, experienced through the human lens. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. And there's, I feel like there's so many different ways that people can look at things, and like you said, paying attention to those small nudges or those things that stick out, or like those billboards that you're like, yeah. It tends to happen to me a lot. But it's getting us back to being able to do that, because I think that we as a society have gotten so used to trusting every outside source versus mm-hmm. trusting mm-hmm. within. And so I feel like that, you know, throughout this entire conversation, that's kind of been the overarching theme as well, is coming back to you to make those choices, to make those decisions, to trust within you versus everything yes. that everybody else has yes, always been exactly. saying, because that's never going to end. Everybody's always going to have an opinion. Everybody's always going to have a way that works better than everybody else's.
And your parents and teachers who tell you not to study dance, they're saying that out of love for you. They mm-hmm. they want you to be successful so that they're not paying for you the rest of your life. No, they want you to be successful so that you can be happy. And in all of our understanding, happy means you make plenty of money and you can buy the things that you want and, you know, go on vacation and so forth. My father was self-employed all his life, and he always said, you can plan my funeral for the day after I retire, because he would not retire. He loved his work. He loved what he did. And so he didn't want to retire. I don't want to retire either. Not because I'm afraid I'll die, but because a lot of people do, you know, they retire officially and then within a year they're dead.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. That actually happens. But yeah, I don't want to retire. I want to keep writing and speaking and being and connecting and all that for the rest of my life. And I will.
Yeah.
I got a message this year, this is when I become a prolific writer. And I've got my next nonfiction book going on right now. So we're hoping to launch that in June of next year. Awesome. And then that's a collaboration. Then my next solo book will be probably February of 2025. And I've even got a children's book coming out next fall.
Oh,
so, yeah. So awesome. I'm doing a lot of stuff that I really love doing. And
I love that.
It's so great and so much fun. And I just want to share it. And I want everybody to enjoy their life like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Susan, this message and everything that you're sharing, I feel like is definitely in alignment as we come into this new year and people's tend to start over and see what they can do fresh. Like, I think this is a great reminder to everybody to really look inward. And so as we, you know, come to a close, one of the things I always ask all of my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or piece of advice you would like to leave the audience with?
Yes. My favorite quote is of my own making. And it is this: if we all used our talents, there would be perfect balance.
Oh.
And you can remember it because it rhymes. So it's a little mnemonic device. We all used our talents, there would be perfect balance.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, Susan, tell everybody then, you know, how can they connect with you? How can they find you? How can they be in your world?
Great. Thank you so much for asking. I'm at mojomedium.com. I still offer psychic readings a little bit on a limited basis. So you can check and see if they're out of the vault right now. But I mostly do seminars of my own making that are like if Esther Hicks and Brené Brown had a baby. Oh, so that's me meeting in the middle. I know, right? Me too. So yes, that's what I strive to be. So you can look at the website for my schedule. I also am available for my workshops and retreats. And those are also at mojomedium.com.
Nice.
So that's where you can reach me. If you want to go to mojomedium.com and click on the little pop-up and get your own no-cost destiny workbook. And this will get you started on those elements that I talked about, the seven Ooh. Steps. And you can get started on that and start thinking, yeah, maybe this is the information I've been looking for. And so check that out. Get in touch. Email me. Contact me through the website. Look for me on social. I'm at The Mojo Medium on all social. So I'd love to hear from you personally. I love to just connect with people and talk to them and say, okay, well, where are you? You know, what's going on? Are you in recovery from your MLM?
I love that so much. Well, thank you, Susan.
I'm also still offering some one-on-one coaching, but again, limited. So, and that's going to go away sometime this next year. So
wonderful.
You might want to get awesome. On that.
Definitely. And of course, everybody will have all that information in the show notes. It'll make it super easy for you guys to find Susan and connect with her and be in her world. And Susan, again, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the podcast today and sharing all this beautiful information. And to everybody else out there, I hope you are taking notes and listening, especially as we move into the first quarter of 2024 and you choosing your own destiny versus what everybody else has been telling you. So until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.